Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. Since the first known case of COVID-19 in December of 2019, the disease has infected over 180 million people and killed nearly 4 million. A successful group of vaccines that target the coronavirus's spike protein has started to drive down global infection. Supercomputers are now speeding up the process of finding new potential drug candidates that are safe, effective, and can complement vaccines. Researchers from Oak Ridge National Laboratory are using the STAMPEDE-2 system of the Texas Advanced Computing Center to help refine the screening of potential drug molecules that can disrupt the spike protein from binding to human cells and causing infection. The refinement is just one part of a much larger process that casts a wide net at entire databases of millions of compounds that have already passed regulatory approval, such as the Zinc Public Access Database. The whole process is described as a supercomputer-driven pipeline for in silico drug discovery. In research published December of 2020 in the ACS Journal of Chemical Information and Modeling. On the line to talk more about it are Stefan Earle and Quan Vuong of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Earle is a group leader in the Computational Chemistry and Nanomaterials Science Group, Computational Science and Engineering Division. He's also the principal investigator of the project using TAC's STAMPEDE-2 for quantum mechanics-based ranking refinement and binding analysis in the drug discovery pipeline for COVID-19. Vuong is a PhD student supervised by Earle at the University of Tennessee. Thanks for joining us on Supersized Science.
Thank you.
What's an easy way to describe the research that you're conducting that's using the STAMPEDE-2 system here at TAC?
We are trying to refine the classical ligand protein docking results on large databases of ligands interacting with the spike protein of the COVID-19 virus. And we are trying to do this using quantum mechanics calculation that are extremely expensive, and therefore we need supercomputers to do this. And the ultimate goal is to obtain more reliable predictions for identify the best candidates that can inhibit the COVID-19 virus.
What is a drug discovery pipeline?
Yeah, a drug discovery pipeline is used in the pharmaceutical industry to identify active molecules that can inhibit the function of disease carriers like bacteria or viruses. And it typically involves a series of steps. So it starts with identifying the target proteins that you would like to have the drug interact with. So in order to stop the activity of a virus, you have to, for instance, stop the replication mechanism, or as in our case, stop the binding of the virus to the receptor proteins in human tissue. So it is, first of all, very important to understand which parts of the virus or bacteria are responsible for this kind of biological function. Once you understand the proteins in most cases, then you will sequence them and obtain accurate structural models from them using X-ray crystallography, neutron scattering data, and so on. And from there, then you can start. This is an alternative step, but I think this has been implemented widely in the pharmaceutical industry to perform pre-screening of potential drug molecules that can facilitate the interaction. And so this can be done on a computer using high throughput screening. And typical databases like the Zinc database, they have entries of millions of compounds that can be then tried to fit into the binding pocket of the respective proteins. And these screenings, therefore, take a vast lot of computer time. And therefore, the pre-screening has to be done using relatively simple physical models like classical force fields or empirical scoring functions that are implemented in commercial docking packages. And in this way, each ligand from the database is given a score as to how well it interacts with the target proteins. And from there, then a limited number of chemical compounds is identified computationally and handed over to the experimental synthesis. And in vitro testing, where the researchers then take out the target proteins from the virus, for example, and place the molecules in there and then measure the activity in their test systems. From an in vitro study, then it goes on to an in vivo study where you have animal species, a mouse comes to mind. And from there, then once you have identified that the activity is preserved in vivo, and there are many factors why this may not be the case, cell wall penetration and so on, solubility issues. If you identify a drug that is still showing activity in vivo, then you can go on to human test studies. That's typically staged in phases. Phase one with a very small group of test persons and then broader and broader test groups until eventually you have identified that the molecule that you propose as a drug is safe, effective, and can be administered in a reasonable way, so orally or intravenously. And so basically that's the whole pipeline in drug pharmaceutical industry. And in the computational pre-screening that I mentioned at the beginning of the process, where we, based on a structural model for the target protein, we first look at available databases of molecules and check the interactions of the molecules with the proteins. That's where basically our effort comes into play. Where we use these very accurate quantum mechanical methods for the reliable prediction of binding affinity of ligands to the protein.
These quantum mechanical simulations, how do these fit into the bigger picture of the work that you and colleagues at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory are doing on the SUMMIT system in developing this computational pipeline for COVID-19 drug discovery?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Our work is taking place towards the end of the inhibitor candidate computational screening. So basically, Jeremy Smith and co-workers, they are using these classical docking methodologies and molecular dynamic simulations based on classical force fields to identify the target protein structures, which are dynamic, and there are many different conformations that they have to look at, and then dock potentially millions of trial compounds as a drug candidate. And once they have identified a reasonable number, well, maybe something like on the order of 1,000 molecules that show good binding to the protein, then we will take those candidate molecules and perform our refinement based on expensive but accurate calculations using quantum mechanical methods. And so our goal in the end then is to reliably narrow down the number of possible lead compounds from 1,000 to maybe to 100, an order of magnitude smaller number, that have to be handed over to experimental validation so that the experiments can be performed at a lower cost, less tests have to be performed. And the most important point is the acceleration. So reducing the number of drug candidates will greatly benefit, and narrowing down reliably the most active species, I think, will eventually result in a faster response to suddenly emerging pandemic situations like we had with COVID-19. This is a new approach. I think that traditionally, the involvement of quantum mechanics in the computational drug discovery has been an exotic side field because it was considered too expensive. But with the method we have developed, Kwan and I, the linear scaling fragment molecular orbital DFTB method, we are in a position to do a full quantum chemical analysis of the whole protein with the ligand in order to get reliable binding energies on the order of hours rather than days. So I think Kwan can maybe speak a little bit about the time that it takes for us to obtain a binding energy of a drug molecule with the protein on the STAMPEDE2 system. Kwan, can you elaborate?
I think the current speed, it is pretty fast. For example, for one complex ligand and protein, we can get the binding energy in term of 1 or 2 hours only. And then because that's, if we have a lot of computer nodes, then we can get the scoring function of like few hundred of compound or complex in a day.
And that's a pretty remarkable improvement over traditional DFT calculations. For comparison, would take, I think, either we take a whole stampede and we run it in a few hours, but that will block stampede for everybody, or we do what we are doing with a couple of nodes, and then we will wait for months, if not years.
Would you speak to the main results so far in applying this pipeline?
Yeah, we have now had a time from April last year until now, and we already found indications that a correlation between classical docking results and our quantum mechanics predicted binding affinities is not very high. So basically, these predictions do not always match. And so it's not actually too surprising. Computational drug discovery folks, they know that basically the strength of classical docking calculations lies actually in the prediction of the docking poles. That tells you how the molecule lies in the binding pocket and how it is oriented, how the side chains bend and fold. And it's not so much geared towards the correct prediction of binding affinities, which would be almost impossible given the requirement of high speed and throughput. So therefore, we believe that adding a final quantum mechanics refinement, as we are now carrying out for the S protein, would be helpful to accelerate drug discovery in general, narrow down the pool of drug candidates, and then develop therapeutics for a response to pandemics such as COVID-19.
What's the most important thing that you'd like the public to know about using supercomputers to discover drugs that work against the COVID-19 virus?
Yeah, at the current state of the art, I think these calculations are still extremely expensive, and we desperately need supercomputer power to perform these calculations. Ultimately, though, I believe, as we know Moore's law, it's doubling the computational speed every year or 1.5 years. So we are looking at an explosion of computer power. And the famous example is that your iPhone in your hand has, I don't know, 1,000 times faster computer's capability than the early supercomputers. And so the ultimate goal would then be that maybe 10 years from now, a drug designer in a commercial a pharmaceutical lab could use their computer to perform that type of calculation by themselves. But until that time, I think we have to act as the trailblazer, since we are developing these methods so that they can scale and use the full capabilities of the supercomputers. But eventually, we would like to make the supercomputer obsolete. This is from my perspective on this.
I think I kind of agree with everything that Dr. Arrow have told you. The only thing that I want to emphasize, I mean overall, the only thing that I want to emphasize about the purpose of our work is that we want to reduce the number of tests that the experimental need have to do, and that would accelerate the drug discovery procedure. For example, if you just use traditional docking, it is not really reliable at our method. You can expect it is something that, and for example, to get the real good ligand, you need to test, for example, around 1,000 of compound, or 100 compound by experiment. But if you get a reliable, more reliable ranking, you can just need to test for around 10 compound, for example, and then that is the way we accelerate the procedure.
You've been listening to Stefan Earle and Quan Vuong of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Supersize Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the host and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.